Welcome to the Modern Girl Podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Parsons. I'm a certified holistic health coach, intuitive eating specialist, and health at every size advocate. Cozy up with me each week for empowering conversations with ambitious women as we share real stories around our relationships with food, body, and moving through life in the modern world. Hey, love. Welcome back. So glad to be with you today. I love doing these podcasts so much. And I always just imagine that we are all sitting down and having coffee or a glass of wine and just being in the same room with you or on a walk with you or just in each other's space is really cool to imagine when I'm having these conversations with the guests. And I appreciate you. I also am really excited about this next chapter of the year, stepping into fall. I feel like I'm always ready for it. I feel like I get really excited about summer because it's so nostalgic for me and just all of the fun and the longer days and everything. I was actually just sharing this with a friend the other day. And then I feel like summer hits a peak where you reach that moment of, oh my gosh, I feel like I've just done all of the fun things and I'm ready to just be a little bit more calm and a little bit more cozy and introspective. And I also have so many fun memories around this seasonal transition. So I want to invite you to really lean into that this year and also to be aware if you're noticing any type of countdown start to loom in your life of this year wrapping up and things that you want to accomplish, or if you're in a rush to wrap up the year just because of the circumstances that we've been living in. And if you're noticing that countdown, don't judge it, just observe it and see if you can really use that as an opportunity to lean into the present moment and focus on what feels good. What feels good right now? What's joyful? What's exciting for you? What's making you just appreciate life in a different way rather than feeling the need to check something off of a list and rush onto the next thing? Because if we're not really leaning into the enjoyment and the satisfaction of life, then what's the point of living, right? What's the point of doing all of this if we don't feel fulfilled and if we don't give ourselves the permission to have that fulfillment? This is a work in progress for me. This is something I constantly have to remind myself of to get out of my head and more into my feelings and my body and all these things. And so I just want to encourage you to step into this with me. And it feels pretty awesome when you can live your life from a place of feeling rather than doing all the time. So that being said, I want to introduce the guest with you today because we talk a lot about feelings in this episode. We talk a lot about body image in a way that we never have before. My guest is Laura McPhee. And in this conversation, we really talked a lot about these parts of our body and self-reflection that we don't really get a chance to discuss in everyday life. We talked about body hair and what that means in our culture. We talked about our relationship with boobs, with our breasts, with the judgment that we face as women in our culture. During this time, as well as adolescence, growing up and really just developing, and how that really shapes our relationship with ourselves moving forward. She is absolutely incredible. This is a super raw, real, authentic conversation, and I'm just really excited for you to get to know her. Let me tell you a little bit more about Laura. Laura McPhee is a joyful goddess. She absolutely is. She's a speaker, she's a healer, she's a coach. She also supports other coaches, healers, and heart-centered entrepreneurs to increase their impact and income. She empowers female leaders to serve from an overflowing cup with pleasure, dive into their divine feminine flow, and enjoy their sexual expansion. As a certified theta healer, she clears the limiting subconscious beliefs that have been holding you back from the life of your dreams. Laura is claircognizant and empathic and a master Reiki practitioner. She's also a Tony Robbins mastery university graduate and utilizes her Bachelor of Business Administration to support her clients with the more masculine structure and conscious work as entrepreneurs. She's incredible. This woman is on fire. She is just somebody who is constantly learning and curious and very, very enlightened and just wants the best for everyone around her. She's so authentic, and I am just incredibly grateful that I got to spend this time with her, and really glad that you get to meet her now too. So with that being said, here is my conversation with the amazing Laura McPhee.
Laura McPhee, thank you so much for being here, love. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Yay, thank you so much for having me.
It's going to be so much fun. I have so many questions that I want to ask you, but I'm also just really curious about your personal body image story. So let's just start there, if that's okay. Can you just start by sharing your first body awareness moment? So that moment where you realized, hey, I'm in a body and this means something in the culture that I'm living in.
Mm-hmm. So the first thought that comes up with that is I was on the playground when I was little and just living life like I normally thought. And a teacher came and talked to me about the tank top that I was wearing and that I was starting to develop or had underarm here. There was some kind of shaming, and all of a sudden I felt bad. I knew I was kind of starting to develop faster than other girls. I was always the tallest one in the class, and it was just suddenly not okay to be doing what I was doing or wearing tank tops anymore. And I was just super embarrassed by it.
What grade were you in?
I think grade 5. I think I was 10.
10. Wow. And so what did you do with that information when you had that confrontation with your teacher? By the way, I can just picture this happening, and I think we all probably have a similar experience, and it's just so gut-wrenching when you get that type of feedback and feel that shame. So how did you digest the information, and how did it shape your relationship with your body?
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember it super clearly. I literally was in my favorite yellow tank top, and I was bright and bubbly and joyful. And then it wasn't okay anymore. And I didn't understand why. And it's interesting, 'cause when you're what did you do after that? I think I just stopped wearing tank tops for a while. I stopped doing things 'cause I didn't really know what the rules were around that. And then just as I got older, my mom always had huge boobs. I have triple D, it just was the thing where I had to start covering that up. So I always wore things that had absolutely no cleavage. I started shopping where my mom was shopping at Reitman's, a friggin' adult clothes store for I'd wear the extra small for middle school and stuff. I just covered myself up, and I looked more professional as a little middle schooler. I'm that's so weird, but that's kind of just what I did. I decided to wear more what my mom was wearing, and covering up my boobs was kind of my response to that.
Did you talk to your mom about it at all?
I don't think that particular thing, but I think I started becoming more aware of cleavage, of being different, of what having big moves meant in our culture, that it's slutty and wrong and you're dirty and bad, and women pay to have big boobs to get more attention from men, or I was noticing that things were being sold with women who have big boobs, but then it's not okay to have them and be a good Christian girl and don't want to show cleavage and you're easy, and all those stories are kind of what's coming to me of what came next. So I definitely talk to my mom about them. Sometimes she's hey, flaunt them, you've got them, but only when you're with a guy who appreciates them and for dating and stuff. She's well, if that's your best feature, then you can totally wear something that, if you want to go to the dance and wear something that shows off your cleavage, go to it. But everything else was I always covered my cleavage completely, and it would be lean over, can you see your boobs in that shirt, to make sure they'd always be hidden.
Oh my gosh, this is so interesting. I have a similar experience with cleavage that it's coming up for me in middle school. So I have this tiny, tiny freckle on my chest. And I just remember that being the way that I measured if a shirt was too low or not. If the shirt was below the freckle, I wasn't wearing it. If it was above, it was okay. And it was for that reason of just feeling like, oh, I have to cover up. And same thing that you're expressing in your story, just that feeling of the attention, the undeserved or unwanted attention because of the mixed messaging. It's so conflicting in middle school.
Definitely.
So what was your friendship circle like at that time? Let's just transition into middle school with your body image story, if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So the people that you were hanging out with, what did it look like in middle school?
So like I'm thinking early middle school, I was kind of excited to go into a bigger school. So I was in a very small town. So when I was 10, I had like one friend and everyone else hated me. Like I started to be a little Miss Perfect and Laura McPerfect and really judged for being smart and being judged for being different and really ostracized for that. So I liked going into a bigger school where there was a couple other girls who were also smart.
Yeah.
So we kind of became friends. And then we would just like stay inside in lunch hours and go to the library. But we were so also used to like not having friends that like we wouldn't really like hang out after school much. Like every once in a while we'd be like, oh, we should maybe hang out or something. But we were all very kind of like loner people, but we'd like hang out at school.
Interesting. That's super interesting. Did you guys ever talk about body image together? Is that something that you bonded over, or was that something that you were just kind of keeping close to the vest?
Yeah, I definitely say that I would like keep it close to myself. Like we would more talk about like getting our homework done, and we'd be like actively getting our homework done to get out of the small town that we were in, to be like, the way out of here is being smart and like getting a good job. Yeah, it's interesting. Like thinking back to it, I'm like, I was the skinny one in the group and they were a little bit like bigger. So I noticed that sometimes they'd have like body issue stuff with like clothes starting to not fit right or not like wanting to hide themselves a little bit in it. But I didn't relate to that because I had super high metabolism, which I'm super grateful for. But yeah, like that wasn't a really big conversation that we had with each other, at least.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, what was your relationship with your body like in terms of just developing? Because puberty, adolescence, obviously it brings up a lot of different variables with the way our body is developing and whatnot. So how were you feeling about yourself in general? And was there any other insecurities or anything coming up for you?
Oh yeah. Like I felt so ugly and I like frizzy poofy curly hair that no one knew how to like support me in and like getting to do anything. So I like would not leave the house until I had like burnt my hair straight. I like would beg my parents to be able to like start getting contacts. Like I had glasses for a while, and then once I could wear contacts, I like only did that. So I was like super nerdy, didn't have boyfriends, didn't feel like I was attractive. Felt like there was something like wrong with me too. Like I was very disassociated from my body. And later in like getting to the other side of it, it's like, yeah, well, when you're molested, it's not safe to be in your body. And then when you start getting boobs, and that's for men's gaze and men's all the things, but it's not for you, it's for other people or to sell something. It just like felt unsafe to be in my body. So I definitely, like, looking back through all the healing I've done, I'm like, I was not in my body. I was just like, I need to get through this.
Yeah. Yeah. That unwanted attention again. And yeah. And it's so conflicting because you're in your body. Like we can't escape it. This is the vehicle that's taking us through life. And at the same time, it feels, having that negative relationship where we just don't feel comfortable in our skin can really, really, it can be so traumatizing. So moving into high school and just developing the next step in your relationship with your body and the skin that you're in? How did that change?
In high school, I'd say that I was definitely still in my like ugly duckling stage of like feeling I was ugly, couldn't figure out my hair, couldn't figure out how to do makeup like other girls were. I was like super sensitive to a bunch of different things. So like I couldn't even be like shaving my underarms every day or shaving my legs every day. Like I'd get red bumps and then sensitivities. And then if I tried to like shave over that, then I'd be like cutting myself and have scabs. And then it would just be like burning painful and bad. And I'm like, there's just so many things that I felt like I couldn't do with my body. And I kind of just like numbed out to that. I was like, everything here isn't working. This sucks. I'm ugly. And I've been labeled as like smart girl, outcast, unpopular, like undateable, whatever. So I'm like, I'm just gonna work. Like that was the way that I numbed out. I could work really hard and be successful, and I'd be the teacher's pet and I'd get accolades for being smart. So I was just like, okay, kids don't like me. No one around my age likes me. I'm just gonna like focus on what the adults are telling me to do, which is be smart, be successful, get a good job, have money, get success. So I just basically numbed out as a workaholic as a very young child.
Yeah, that's where you placed your self-worth.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you, or from discovering that about yourself and that self-worth and also that confliction that you were having with your body, what was the turning point for you that gave you permission to just look at yourself in a different way and start to really develop that body appreciation?
It's interesting. I guess the first thing that came through was like prom. Prom was kind of like my redemption. Like I was going to get my hair and makeup done and I had this super awesome dress. So I've always been really tall and skinny and have big boobs, but I never saw myself with those positive characteristics. I was just like, well, these are all the things that I'm bullied for and that I'm ostracized for, and this is all bad. So at prom, I was like, I'm going to get my hair and makeup done. I'm in this really hot dress. It was super revealing. Like my boobs were like out. It was super tight. I was like so excited about the dress. And it was interesting because a couple weeks before that was going to happen, I actually bit into my gum and a piece of my tooth chipped. And then I was told I was going to have to get braces.
Oh.
Because I had such a big overbite. And ooh, that's another interesting thing. I also used to never smile showing my teeth because I had a gap similar to my mom. And she was always so embarrassed of her teeth. So I can literally see in my childhood photos where I used to smile so big and have a bright smile. And even to this day, like people love my smile and love like the energy of it. But I can see in my photos where my mom started telling me about what she does to hide her teeth and how to smile to hide her teeth and where that started. So like I can see in like family photos where I'm like, that's where it started, where I stopped smiling, my authentic smile, and I started hiding myself.
That's so interesting. Was it just you and your mom growing up?
No, my dad too, but he was very in his own head, in his own space. He was in the house always, but he was an asshole and like not present, and it wasn't good.
Got it. So what was your mom's relationship like with her body, if you don't mind sharing, if you're comfortable sharing that? Because I think it's really fascinating that you were mirroring that behavior from your mom around your smile.
Yeah.
In terms of other body image aspects, what were you noticing about hers?
Yeah, so she was the same. Like she had very short curly hair. So she had her hair shorter than like an inch or two. Like it was very short, tight to her head. So she just never knew what to do with my hair. She had never learned how to do anything with long hair. So she was just like, I don't know, put it back in a ponytail. And I'd like see my mom wear the same stuff every day and like wear clothes at Reitman's and cover up her body. And she definitely judged herself, and she always wore her contacts and wouldn't leave the house once she got contacts. So once I got contacts, I wouldn't leave the house until I had my contacts in. So I did those same things. And it's interesting because when I was in middle school, one of my great aunts actually started introducing me to like this really high caliber, high quality makeup that's like super good quality and super good for sensitive skin and doesn't have like a bunch of the chemicals and all the stuff in it. And she actually bought my makeup. She started buying my makeup for me because my parents couldn't afford it. And I wouldn't go to visit them unless I had makeup because my mom would put on makeup just to go see them. So I'd have to put on makeup just to go see them. So that became a thing where I wouldn't leave the house unless I had makeup on.
Interesting. Yeah, to cover up and meet that need. This is really fascinating. I really appreciate you sharing all of this. And I also I love stories like this so much about body image, because so often, I was just having a conversation about this with somebody else recently, but so often when we think about body checking when it comes to body image and really just fixating on things in the mirror, most people would think like, oh yeah, I'm looking at my stomach, I'm looking at my butt, I'm looking at my thighs, I'm looking at my boobs, you know, or my arms or things like that. But it is so beyond that. This really goes into teeth and makeup and hair and just those aspects of your physical appearance that you're really fixating on. And so it's really interesting for me to hear you express this part of your body image story that it, yes, boobs, absolutely, and feeling self-conscious around that, but not being able to show your smile and feeling like you had to cover up with makeup and always wear contacts before leaving the house. What do you feel like all of this was giving you at the time? I know that might be a loaded question, but what's the first thing that comes up for you?
I'm like a complex. About that?
A complex, but that's even an interesting response, because what kind of a complex? Was there a celebrity that you were trying to model? Were you trying to be more like your mom, or were you trying to, do you feel like you were trying to avoid something by just doing all these things?
Because I'm like, fuck, with me doing an hour of all this stuff to try to make me better, I get this level of hate and like total bullied at school and isolation. And just like, I'm like, I couldn't imagine if it was worse. And there were a couple people in my school, like I can even think, didn't even have friends. And I was like, oh my God, I would never want to associate them because that would be even worse. So I was just trying to not make it worse.
Yeah, you were like a floating duck paddling really, really quickly underwater. Yeah, I so feel that. So, what was your relationship with your aunt like then, since she was a part of kind of like facilitating all of this and everything?
It's interesting because she lived like long distance from us, but when I would like go up there, it was nice. Like, I also got accolades from her and from like my extended family for being smart, for being like them, for being like everyone else. So it was interesting because a lot of us had the same story where like we were the smart people, the overachievers, but we were super bullied. So that was kind of just the story. It's like, well, you belong to us at least by doing these things. And it's interesting because like, even as a child, I didn't really like having to put on makeup. Like it didn't make sense to me. And then as I've gotten older, I'm like, well, boys don't have to do this. Like, boys don't have to shave their underarms and their legs and go through this. And I tried Nair, I tried all these things and like go through the suffering of burning skin. And then it became aware to me that I had to like take care of my eyebrows. And then for a while, my great aunt would like pay for my eyebrows to get done. Like all these things where I'm just like, it was interesting. The stories that came around, well, you have to be at least this good. Like, you can't get worse than this. It wasn't like, oh, you'll be the prettiest one there. It's just like, you don't, like, you have to hide or else it'll get worse. That's kind of the energy.
That's really interesting. I mean, from everything that you're saying, it sounds like, all right, we know what to avoid. We know what's going to get the negative comments. So let's just avoid that at all costs by doing the bare minimum and then going a little bit above so that we can just stay the course and really deflect any of that unwanted attention or criticism, which sounds like a lot of mental work, just trying. Yeah, a lot of mental exhaustion. And I also feel like it's mental exhaustion that, unfortunately, myself included, women are just very used to. We almost feel like this is just a part of being a woman. And it's funny you saying all of these things, you know, with Nair and eyebrow waxing and all of these different types of grooming rituals. I feel like that was so prominent in our culture growing up, because I know we're around the same age. And I remember thinking that too, just there's a lot of things that you have to do. Like, I remember going, I feel like now it's probably different, because like contouring is really popular for so many women, and just like with the Kardashians and this whole revolution of Instagram and everything, it's totally different. But I remember like going to a department store and feeling like, ooh, the Clinique counter is going to make me prettier if I do like a 15-minute makeup thing with them. Did you ever do that?
It like cut out right there. Going to the counter is where I last
heard. Yeah, like going to a department store makeup counter. I felt like that was like the thing. Like growing up, it was like, well, I'm gonna get a makeover at Clinique and then buy all these fancy products and everything, and I'll be prettier because of it.
Well, I definitely liked the, like, every, I think 2 years, I'd be able to like go and get a makeover at that place that I was getting my makeup and like get a refresh on my makeup. I really liked doing that. But it was interesting because my mom wasn't into makeup. My mom wasn't into shopping. My mom wasn't into those things. So literally like once a year on my birthday, it was kind of like a gift to me to like go to the big city and like get all of my clothes for the school year. Cause like she didn't like shopping. So then I didn't like shopping. Bra shopping was horrible. So it was just like, just get all the bad stuff done in one day. But I did look forward to like the makeover part where I'm like, ooh, I can get like a different color eyeshadow. And I went from like a blue one to a bronze one or something one year. And it was like super fun.
Yeah. Oh, I so relate. I can so relate to that. Yeah. And I remember reading so many fiction books when I was growing up too, about other like teenage girls who would have the same experience and just feeling a part, like I was a part of something just by doing that. So I totally relate to that. So going back to your prom experience, where it's kind of the turning point in your relationship with your body, do you mind just telling us a little bit more about that? Did you end up getting braces?
So I didn't for it. I literally like, I wasn't even a crier back then. I wouldn't allow myself to cry about things. I had to be super strong all the time, but I literally like went home and cried. And then we kind of talked about it and they're like, okay, we'll wait until after prom to do this, but you have to do this. Let your teeth, like I had like almost full centimeter overbite that my teeth were just like ruining each other. So they're like, this is medically necessary, we need to do this, but we can wait until after prom. So I was so grateful. And it's interesting because leading up to prom, I wore a normal dress that it's like other girls were wearing dresses like this in school, but I have bigger boobs, so more cleavage shows with mine. And not even an actual teacher, like a teacher assistant, like came and talked to me about the dress I was wearing. So that made me really upset because I was
God.
The one I have for prom already is way more revealing than this. So because teacher's pet me, I'm literally like the top of my class in all the things. I literally like went to one of my favorite teachers and I'm like, this is a picture of me with my dress. I'm like, is this going to be okay? Because I was also a super good girl, super rule follower. I was just like mortified that I was going to be, I'm like, it's not even breaking codes. I'm like, I've seen other people wear more slutty shit like this regular every day at school, let alone at proms, which women wear even more revealing things at proms. So I literally like got permission from some teachers and they're like, if anyone has anything to say to you about that at all at prom, tell them to come to us. And like, they were like the more prominent teachers in school. So they were like very much on my side and they're like, no, you deserve this. So I was so grateful for that. And I got to like be all dolled up and super fucking hot. And I'm like, yes, see, this is me leaving this high school experience fucking hot.
That is so interesting. And also such an interesting way to connect the dots in your life, coming full circle from that experience on the playground where you were called out by the teacher for what you were wearing. And kind of like, isn't life so interesting? Like, that's your experience coming into the education system, and then this mm-hmm. is your experience leaving it, and it's still the same. It's still the yeah. same, but it's the mm-hmm. same but different. But mm-hmm. did you mm-hmm. even connect to that? Do you remember even like connecting to that when you were getting that feedback about your prom dress, about that experience on the playground?
No, you just sharing that now, I'm like, that's interesting that came full circle and that I had some teachers on my side. You'd be like, no, like, if anyone has any issues, tell them to go see us. Like, don't even talk to them about it. I'm like, okay.
Wow. I'm getting like all fired up just hearing this story. So mm-hmm. what comes next? And I also want to talk about just where you are right now with your body, but we'll get there. And the reason for everybody listening is because Laura is just so just amazing and fully embodied with the skin that she's in, and it's just so inspiring. So yeah, love, after high school and just moving into young adulthood and everything, and also just getting that reassurance that you have people on your side now, these teachers really becoming your allies and feeling more confident with the skin that you're in, what was the transition point for you like?
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, because at prom I started like having this deeper level of like confidence. So that's actually where I met my first actual boyfriend. Like,
oh my
another
gosh.
One of my friends just brought
at
her
prom?
Friend along. Yeah.
This is a movie.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So that's super interesting, because literally we got along great. This guy and I were just like super attracted to each other. He picked me up the next day and we like went to my friend's house and we're like, you're super sure, like, because they were platonic friends, they were just neighbors, and he was taking her because she didn't have anyone. So we like double checked and triple checked with her to be like, you're totally cool if we start dating. So that was the first person that I actually like fell in love with and had sex with.
Wow.
Like, I didn't have sex in high school. Like, it was like, I became 18 and then.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a very She's All That moment.
I know, that totally came in my head. Like, I love that movie growing up, and also Never Been Kissed. Like, I've watched those.
Yes, yes, Never Been Kissed. But you know what's really funny? I feel like that, those movies, it was so, there was such a common theme when we were growing up with movies like that, and I don't think that it was, like, unintentional. I think there was a reason why movies like that were so popular, and it's stories like this just kind of reflecting women, you know, young girls' experience and everything. And so yeah, this is great, keep going.
Yeah, so that's super interesting. I never really like made that conscious connection about that either, and reflecting about how prom was when it was kind of like, I'm hot, I'm seeing myself differently, I'm choosing differently. And I'm like, yeah, that's where my first boyfriend, like actual boyfriend love experience came from.
Oh my god,
that's super interesting to me. Yeah. I definitely kind of like took a hit when I had braces, like going into university for 2 years with braces, going on like first like corporate job interviews with braces. Those were like head fucks for me.
How long did you have them?
For 2 years.
Okay.
So I definitely started becoming more self-conscious about that. Still everyday life, I was like putting on my contacts, and in university, I was kind of getting to the point where I'm like, I don't have time to straighten my hair. I'm just going to like fucking let it be. So I started owning myself a little bit more. That's when I was starting to get more into like the personal development world and doing positive things for myself. And it's interesting because like growing up, I had two brothers and I'm like, boys don't have to do this. My brothers don't have to spend an extra 45 minutes to an hour straightening their hair, putting contacts in, doing all the shaving, doing all the like makeup and figuring out what jewelry has to go with this. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. So I stopped doing some of those things in university. I'm like, this is taking my time. I'm like, I can't do this. So I started wearing my glasses more. I started just learning how to curl my hair like natural products and love my curls. So like baby steps were happening in that, and it was also kind of like the underlining thing of like, I don't have time, and it's more important for me to keep my scholarships and stay the smartest person here than maintain like what my appearance has to look like apparently to society.
Well, it sounds like you were able to pause and self-reflect and build in some self-awareness around how much time you actually were investing in your physical appearance and what that was replacing in your life too, which is that's a common exercise that I do with a lot of clients. And it's just really interesting when we do give ourselves the opportunity to really acknowledge, okay, let's just lay all the cards on the table. How much time is this taking and what is it taking away from? So that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like crazy, the stats. I think it's like 60 days of our lives are spent just shaving. Like women just experience shaving? 60 days less of their entire life experience than men. Just from shaving, like armpits, legs, bikini area, waxing, all those things. Of our lives.
Meanwhile, I actually do want to talk to you about this too, but I just shaved my legs actually this morning and they feel so good and so smooth. And so I also love the idea of just embracing like grooming rituals that just make you feel really good versus doing them for somebody else, you know? So we can talk about that in a bit, but I do think it's interesting because I want to hear more about your story and how you chose to get through this college experience with braces and then beyond that.
And it's super interesting because reflecting on it in this way is also bringing up little ahas of like also having a boyfriend gave me permission to not need to be looking attractive to other men. I would still get all prettied up before. So we were doing long distance because I was going to a different city than what he lived in. So when I'd hang out with him, I'd wear my more revealing boob stuff because he was a super boob guy. And I'd like put in my contacts and straighten my hair. So like he actually told me, like he wasn't the most aware, awakened person at all. He was like, you can like do one or the other. Like you can have straight hair with glasses or you can do like contacts with curly hair, but you can't do both because then that makes you ugly. And I'm like, oh.
What?
Like that literally was imprinted of like, so I can't only, like I have to do some of these things. Like there was a minimum bar that he'd have to do for like to be with him or to like go out with him or like.
That is so interesting. And it's also, I'm seeing a lot of themes for you, Laura, just people giving you these guidelines for your body, like these external guidelines versus what just feels really good for you.
Yeah, 100%. And it's interesting kind of because you brought up the leg thing, because I'm like, I've totally gone into what do other people think is acceptable? What are the like rules here? Because we can totally like jump back to like university. But when I got more into the spiritual world, like I had some friends who like weren't shaving their underarms. So like some people in the yoga community weren't like shaving their armpits. But then I had corporate friends who were like, oh my God, did you see that weird hippie girl who didn't shave? And I'm like, I'm wearing a long sleeve t-shirt right now because I shaved 2 days ago. And if I shave again today, I'll bleed. Like I felt so self-conscious about that. And I wouldn't ever like make comments good or bad to that. I was just like mortified that like if I wasn't wearing a long sleeve t-shirt right now, that they'd be able to tell that like I have stubble right now, and was just like, I need to fit in here. But then I couldn't, like I was trying to also like fit in more with the yoga world and in my spirituality. Like I have friends who are hippies and who like haven't shaved in decades, and they're like, I love my body, I own it. Like it's a really good way of like filtering out people. If they're not gonna like me because I haven't shaved, they can just like never talk to me, like go for that. So then I felt really weird because I'm like, I do like the feeling of when I just shave my legs and get to like feel it like super sensually on like clean sheets that are like silky soft.
Yes.
Like, it feels so good. I like that and I enjoy that. And also like right now I haven't shaved in the past week, like anything. So like I have complete love of my body when I have hair on it and I'm so grateful. And I also like love it when I have clean shaven things too. I like both, but it's when I have time for it, when it feels good for me, when I'm like having a nice long bath and I have extra space. Like I do things for me to feel good and I don't do it anymore for a man. I actually used to like
that I had that
long distance because I'd only see my partners on the weekend. So I'd have a week of space in between to be like, cool, they get the fresh shaven legs and armpits in the first couple days. And then I get to like actually have the space to not try to like because they'd also make comments. They're like, why is there fucking band-aids and shit on your legs? And like, I'd have red bumps, and I also got comments around like the red bumps feeling weird to touch too. And I'm like, okay, so basically like 2 days of the week I'm okay for my body to be touched. Like, what the fuck is this?
Does that still happen? Do you still have sensitive skin and get bumps from shaving?
I do. So I actually do that. Like, the most frequent I will shave would be once a week. So like, if I wanted to, like, feel like I wanted to like do something where I'm like, I have extra time, I'd do it on the weekend and shave, and then that's good. But like, I'm totally fine having like hairy legs and having hairy armpits. Like, I'm like, yeah, I love all of my body. And into that, 2 years ago I was doing like this really big like epitome of health cleanse thing. Like, I got off of birth control, I hadn't taken Advil, I was getting off of sugar. I did this Tony Robbins Life and Wealth Mastery thing. So like, you cleanse for 5 days, like raw juice cleanse, and then you go into like raw salads and like raw foods for the next 3 days. So it's like this big deep detox and cleanse. And that was going to be like my epitome of me being like a clean channel and like just like completely free of stuff. And like, we did a bunch of clonics and just like, I was gonna be like the guru of cleanliness to channel things and be the spiritual person and like finally reach the like achiever top of the mountain for that. I was like, yay, I'll check off that box. And then the other side of that is what I realized was not great, of like changing so many things at once, especially getting off like hormonal birth control after being on it since I was a young teenager. So I'm not sure exactly which thing in all the changes that I did, but some of the changes or a combination of the changes or deficiencies that I got from doing that, I started losing my hair in clumps in the shower.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh my God. To me at the time, it meant like losing your hair in clumps means cancer, dying, death. I was just like, oh my God, this was supposed to be like, I have the most energy, the most vital body, the best ever, ever, everything. And it was the complete opposite. And I actually started having like thoughts that were not helpful. And I'm like, okay, so this isn't good and this isn't healthy. And kind of like looked at those things that were going on in my journey. I had a coach and healer and mentor at the time who had gone through a similar experience doing like pure vegan. So after I was mostly vegan, I ate a little bit of salmon a couple times, but I just basically went like to an extreme of like, this is how I'm eating now. And my body was not having it. And I was starting to like share some of those things with her. And she's like, this is my journey of like going into vegan. She created a business around it. And then she had all of the shame of like being in the hospital and doctors being like, you can't keep doing this. It's not sustainable. So I'm so grateful that she caught it so early on in me and I was able to start course correcting and supplementing and doing all these things. But I literally like made a contract with God, creator, source, energy, universe. I'm like, I am so grateful for every hair on my body. Please allow my hairs on my body to stay on my body. I'm so grateful for them. Thank you so much. And that's when I like really did a deeper dive into like healing stuff around like having a bush and like being like, I love all the hair, and all the hair in my body is loved and accepted and can grow, and I will love it and I'll lead other women in it. And I'm like, whatever you need me to do, I'm like, I'm here to be on this planet, and like, please let everything be good.
Yeah. Do you feel like that? I mean, that's a really powerful story. Do you feel like that was a defining moment for you in terms of just feeling totally accepting of your body and the skin that you're in?
Yes, 100%. Because I was doing like really deep sexual healing at the time too. So I was seeing how like pubic hair and all those things and like messaging around that. So I used to just like get waxed because I could, like, I'd get horrible bumps there. And like, then your underwear is literally going up against it and it's so fucking painful. So I would just get waxed. I actually, I forgot about this. I got laser hair removal. I spent a ton of money on my armpits and my legs and it didn't work. Like, I did all the things in the exact ways that I was supposed to. It hurt when it happened. I invested thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And like, once I tried those areas, I'm like, ooh, okay, so these are starting to look okay. So maybe I could do my bikini hair. That was like my goal, to like just fucking be hair free and not having to do it. And it's interesting because then after that happened and I was in spiritual communities, I'm like, huh, my legs still, like, I'm just looking at them right now because I'm in a skirt, and I'm like, there's patches of like long hair, and then there's patches on my legs that still have 0.0 hair. So then I was like, I'm literally in neither category. Like, I had to be okay with myself because I used to be so black and white and like, yeah, fit in and check all the boxes. And I'm like, so I can't go to a hippie place with all my spiritual friends and like show that, because like I have spots, just like lines and patches where there's no hair and then a ton of hair. So I'm like, I don't belong in either one anymore.
Yeah.
So I had to do so much healing to be like, I'm doing it all for me. Like, I love myself. I love how my body looks. I've done so much work on that. And I don't care what other people's stories are, because if they have stories, it's their own stories and their own projections and their own shame that they're working on and they get to heal through. And they're just putting that on me. So I don't need to create those stories or be attached to any stories.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so true. And it's so easy to forget that when we're feeling shamed or judged. But I say this all the time to clients. I remind myself this all the time too. Whenever you are feeling judgment for somebody else, it's a reflection of the things that they're going through on their own, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just another way to practice compassion and just sending them love rather than feeling like you have to take their judgment on for yourself. Mm-hmm. One thing that's really coming up for me too in terms of body hair is the act of just constantly feeling like you have to remove it. It's another avoidance tactic. It's like, well, if I don't have it, nobody can say anything about it. And so I'm just not even going to make it a topic of conversation. And that's so interesting. But what I really think is really interesting in your story is this fork in the road that you've just described of being on one side of like, yeah, I'm just going to avoid it, and then being conflicted with this new community and this counterculture of, well, screw it, like we're just growing our hair, and feeling like, well, I can't do that either. So that is really interesting, Laura. How do you, if you were to give anybody who is listening your biggest takeaway for just really doing that deeper healing and feeling good in your body, exactly where you were in that moment and exactly where you are now, what's one thing you would say to somebody? What's the best place that you think somebody can start when they're really just wanting to appreciate their body without feeling like they are on display or judged or whatnot?
I think the most powerful piece is saying I love you. Like, that's definitely where I started. I literally just learned that mindset techniques work, and I think I heard a study where like a doctor had actually gotten patients to like talk positively to themselves and saying like, I am healing, I love myself, like all these different positive affirmations. And they did a control group. So I used to be like super science minded, come from the accounting world, needed a lot of like baby steps to work me into like the more positive mindset paths and positive spirituality world and all those things. So it was like scientifically proven in a control group versus what they were doing. And the people who were just saying good things about themselves healed quicker and faster and better. They're like, we're not doing it. Like, it could be placebo, it could be this, but they're like, whatever, the outcomes are working. Like, who cares about all the different reasons why and stuff? But it's very clear that when you say good things to yourself, when you speak I am and positive things after that statement, it works. So I started literally just saying I love you. Like, I had post-it notes all over the place saying I love you. I had like on my mirror, I love you. And every day, even when it felt weird and funky and bad, because the doctor was like, it can feel like you're insane and that you're saying something different than what you're currently. So I literally started doing those things where I would consciously say, I love you to myself.
Yeah.
And then that worked really well. And I became way more positive. And that's something I still to this day do, like probably a decade plus later, of I'll look in the mirror. And I've also upgraded it over time where it's like, I automatically, anytime I see my reflection, it's, I love you. I'm absolutely incredible. I deserve outstanding things. That's what just automatically pops into my brain when I see myself in any reflection. Versus, oh my God, this frizzy bit, or fuck, I have a pimple and I need to like find a way to cover this up real quick.
Which yeah.
Is what totally happened.
Yeah. Well, I love this. I love this power tip so much. So thank you for sharing. And I You're also welcome. Think that it's so it's so interesting because this is something that I've been reflecting on a lot lately, even in the past couple of days, of just we attract the energy that we show up in. So mm-hmm. love attracts love, hate attracts mm-hmm. hate, anxiety attracts anxiety. And so yeah. if you are in a place where you are feeling that deep, authentic love for your body in a way that you don't really have to, that nobody else has to understand but yourself, that attracts people who are also in a similar place. And that just makes life so much different when you are surrounded by people who have that confidence and that positivity and that love yes. and just that determination in life in a completely different way that isn't so by the book. It's just genuine and authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it's baby steps. It's like baby steps. I said it in the mirror and I didn't believe it and I felt I was crazy. And then it's interesting because when I started my actual entrepreneurial journey, I was a happiness coach and healer. So I used to help women with self-love and self-care because that's where mm-hmm. I had just gotten to the other side of and was so excited. And I'm like, I need to get out of this corporate world so that I can help other people be happier and love themselves and do all this stuff. So I get that it can feel weird and it can feel crazy and that you might want to whisper it or you don't want to say it out loud because your partner might hear. And wherever you're at on your journey, be okay with it. Make a super small baby step today and commit to it consistently. Like add it to mm-hmm. something you're already doing. If you're brushing your teeth in the morning, add it to that so that it'll be an automatic thing where you just start reprogramming your brain to think the positive, loving things to yourself rather than the things that you might have been conditioned to by your mom or your family or your society.
Yeah. Yep. It's so powerful. The retraining of our minds, which is something that I actually want to talk to you about. If you don't mind transitioning the conversation into that, because it's just mm-hmm. flowing that direction already. But
yeah.
I'm so glad that you are an expert in mindset, because this is an area, especially around body image and confidence and just our relationships with ourselves in general, that really comes up a lot. And so mm-hmm. I have some questions that I want to ask you around this, if you're open to sharing your expertise.
Yeah, definitely.
So in terms of getting out of a funk, and what I mean by that, and I'm sure anybody who hears this phrase knows exactly what I mean right away, but I'll just describe mm-hmm. it so that we can be on the same page with it. But just that feeling of nothing is working. I feel stuck. I feel like, oh my gosh, another door is closing on me. I feel like it's another missed opportunity. It's another lost friendship. It's another mm-hmm. broken dish or whatever. It's just this funk of like, life is just throwing all the shit my way and I can't get out of it. What are some steps that we can take to actually start acknowledging that and move out of it? And also, why is it coming up?
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so many different things come through. So the first like conscious mindset tip would be like, start to reframe it. I love that Tony Robbins talks about how everything's working for you. Like I have literally said over whatever's happening, this is happening for me. It's interesting because I've had times where I've like dropped a plate of food right after I made it and I was so hungry and been like so angry at myself. And like my parents like used to be like so precious with food and don't waste food or spill milk or any of those things. And I used to have those same reactions in my own head and beat myself up about them. And it's interesting because in the past, everything's happening for my highest and best good. How do I know that something wasn't wrong with the fish on the plate and that I couldn't have about to have gotten like food poisoning or something because I didn't cook long enough or there was something wrong with it? Like I've started to get to the frame point of this isn't worth my joy. Mm-hmm. I'm in a joyful place right now and this isn't worth my joy, so I'm not going to let it affect me. And it really comes to the underlining thing of like, that just happened for me. Everything's always happening for my highest and best good, my optimal health, regardless if it makes sense to my human in this present point in time. But you can always look back at things and be like, oh, that's why that happened. And it's super interesting. Have you ever watched like This Is Us?
Oh, I love that show.
So like, you know, we're like the beginning of the last season where we're kind of like introduced to all these new characters and the blind guy like drops his plate of food and then he goes to the diner. And I'm like, this is so interesting. And I was also like, where are regular people? I love them so much. But he literally drops his place of plate of food and couldn't eat it, so he had to go to a diner, and that's where he met like the woman of his dreams and
I'm getting chills.
And like all the things, and I'm like, yes, like getting to live life that way, to be like, maybe this didn't work out how I expected it to, but I'm available to the universe for something better to happen in this moment. I trust I'm being guided in a positive way. And like, that song still will like make me cry, like of just like everything's happening for the reason, like a wrong move, a wrong direction, a mistake, something bad happening in your day. It's leading you to something better, and you can choose to have that belief system around it and enjoy the journey, or you can choose to not enjoy the journey, but you're still going to get to those outcomes. So why not enjoy the journey and have the point where you look back and be like, all of those points came together. I lost my job. The plate of food broke. I stubbed my toe. Like all of things happened in this order for this to happen. So why not just start getting excited for where it's leading you as you're enjoying the journey? Because so many things in my life, I can look back and be like, oh, that sucked. But it's like, yeah, it sucked getting molested. Yeah, it sucked being bullied. Yeah, it sucked having all these horrible things happen in my life. But I'm on the other side of them. I have so many tools and wisdom and gold nuggets and experiences that support my soul sisters, that support my clients so deeply. So even when I'm in an experience now, I'm like, this is happening for me or someone else, and it'll bring value. And like having relationship in life is so much more loving, so much more fulfilling, and so much more joyful.
Yep. It's all information. It's all, it's all an opportunity to learn and get curious and choose to learn from the experiences. Like you're saying, I love this so much. It's so valuable. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I want to talk about what you do now with the women that you coach. Is it just women, by the way, or do you work with men as well?
So I work with some men. They have to be like super high quality, very high frequency, already done a ton of personal development work kind of men to be in my world at all.
So tell us about the work that you do with just your clients in general then.
Yeah. So right now I work with only like coaches, healers, heart-centered entrepreneurs, light workers who are like here to move the world forward in positive ways, because I got a ton of value supporting people one-on-one and being like, awesome, this is supporting you and your family and the people you're about to affect. So I help a lot of my light workers just increase their impact and income in the world by clearing their subconscious belief systems, by reframing themselves consciously, by moving forward in baby steps that are in harmony with themselves, that are in alignment with themselves and their own inspired action. And then I also work specifically with women in the world of sexual empowerment, and really like deeply loving their bodies, deeply owning that they're goddesses, that they're queens, that they can enjoy the journey, they can serve from their overflow, they can be in pleasure, they can connect to the creative energy that, if they so choose, can bring life through this planet, like, or through all other creative channels, birth projects and opportunities and offers and their like creative genius into the world.
Yeah. So good. So good. And also, I'm just so humbled to know your personal story and for you to share your story about what led you here, what led you to this empowerment and this confidence and the gifts that you're giving to the world. And it's so inspiring, Laura. And I know that so many listeners are going to hear this and just feel lit up by everything that you're sharing. And also, supported with wherever they're at on their own journey too, because like we were just saying before, it is guiding us to the next step, whether it feels shitty or whether it feels amazing. It's putting us on the path and it's how we choose to receive that. And so I love everything that you shared today, and the work that you're doing right now is so deeply powerful, and I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you so much. And another conscious piece, just for people who are like, well, I can't make that mindset shift in the moment when I'm like freaked out and panicked or scared or angry or crying, like have a self-care list, like write down self-care, like right now while we're talking, create a piece of paper or go into your phone notes and write down self-care things that you can do in that moment that are,
oh my
free,
gosh,
that are fast.
This is so good. This is an exercise that I do with every single client. I do a self-care toolkit. Oh, and
yes,
it's the same. Yeah, because especially when we work around emotional eating and just getting more in touch with identifying our emotions more readily. You guys, everybody who's listening, and this is such a valuable activity to start doing, to really start becoming aware of the activities through your day that are low-hanging fruit, things that make mm-hmm. you feel really good in the moment, and to write them down in an accessible place. Because when you are in these moments where you're overwhelmed or feeling in a negative space, or you've identified the emotional need, but now you need a tool to actually meet that need, it can feel really overwhelming to go through your mind of all of the things that make you feel good. And so just training your brain to actually see, oh, this, it's almost like a catalog for you. Like, oh, this would work well to meet where I'm at right now. Too. Mm. That is such a great tip. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Before we wrap, I would love to ask a few fun questions that I ask everybody. This is one of my favorite parts of the conversation. Are you down?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool. What does your morning routine look like?
Okay, so right now it's very flowy, and sometimes I go in periods of my life where it's like super structured. Sometimes it's very flowy. So I always, always, always drink a bunch of water, have a morning green smoothie, take care of my body. So then it'll flow to, if it's a nice day and I live in a place where it could be like foggy and cloudy or rainy or just like sunny. So if it's nice, I might spend some time on my patio or going for a walk. I might just dance and like flow with that. And then I kind of just go from there. If I want to be like singing and dancing for a while, I'll do that. If I want to move into more like actual exercise routine, I've been seeing a personal trainer recently, so I've been doing more like strength building, focusing on alignment and ensuring that my body's a really clean, good channel for moving forward. And I'm moving towards like pain-free periods and creating good structure in like my body, because I've also been tall and I used to like shorten myself all the time. I would literally like lean in a certain way to be like less short than all the other girls too. So
That's
very interesting that just so many little things are coming up from this talk. So thank you for this conversation.
Yeah, of course. How tall are you, by the way?
I'm 5'10". So yeah. I used to be 5'9". I was recorded at 5'9", but I've been doing so much work and like decompressing all the shit that I used to just like, I would just be out of alignment. I would actually make myself smaller around other people in the physical plane and also energetically.
This is really interesting because I've had a few guests on before. Jackie Randall, who is also, I think she's just around 6 foot, and our conversation was, we talked a lot about her height and how that really impacted her body image story. Mm. And then on the opposite side of that, just being really short. And I think one of my first guests, Nina Boyce, she's a hormone expert. She's right around 5 foot. And so her experience growing up in a really, in a smaller body, just a short body. And so it's, you know, it's not always the width that shapes our story. It's very often the length of our bodies too. And so I love this so much about your experience. Mm-hmm. And I love your morning routine.
Thank you.
If you were going to switch careers with guaranteed success and joy, what would you do?
I wouldn't. I love my life. I consciously co-created my life to make it this, and
I had a feeling you were going to say
in my life that I get to like support other people with.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I love that. How do you define health?
What makes you feel vibrant and healthy and aligned and optimized in your own body, regardless of what other people are saying is good or bad?
Love it. What's one wellness trend that you wish would disappear?
Okay, the first thing that came up is like veganism is the only way to be like spiritual. Like that's the best and only thing.
Yeah,
like
totally.
You should tune into your body and be like, what's actually supportive for your actual whole health?
I totally agree. Do you have a signature dinner party dish? Do you like to cook?
I don't love to cook. I love being cooked for, and I like
me
when
too.
Friends and partners introduce me to like new food. What kind of came up was pineapple fried rice. I'm like so
right now. So do you make it or are you ordering it and then putting it on a pretty dish?
Yeah, like ordering it. When we were in San Diego, Diego, someone put it in an actual pineapple, and it was the most gorgeous display I've ever seen. Pineapple fried rice.
That's a pro tip. I actually learned that trick from my nana growing up, just buying something and putting it on a pretty plate when you go somewhere. Yeah. It's awesome. But it's really funny because rice is one of the foods where I don't like it at all. And I feel like it's so strange. And I have my own story around it and everything too. But it's one of those foods that I would love to like, but I just don't. But this sounds like an awesome dish. I probably wouldn't eat it at your party though.
Awesome.
What's one book or resource that changed your relationship with food and body?
Woman Code is coming up. Like that's very illuminating for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Did you recently read it?
Yeah, a couple years ago. So now I'm going back into it to be like, okay, what pieces was I just like, oh, okay, that's interesting, that I'm now ready to implement, that I now have the space in my life that I can actually implement better.
Yeah, that is a great book for everybody listening. It really does describe becoming more aligned with your hormones, with your monthly cycles. Elisa Vitti, who wrote it, she also has PCOS, and so it really comes from a place of healing your body with that condition. So many great things. Okay, what's the last TV series that you watched or one that you would recommend?
The last one I watched was Friends because I was sick for a week. Aww. So I basically just wanted to laugh. And it was such a feel good. There's not huge dramas. It's just like, do you want to laugh and see people who love each other?
I love that. I've actually just started, you know how we were just talking about self-care lists. I'm a big list maker in general, and I have a list of like self-care feel good shows and movies. Mm-hmm. Like if I ever need just something to make me laugh or something to make me feel cozy or comfortable or something like that. So that's a great one to add to the list. I love Friends.
Yes.
Yay. Well, thank you so much, love. This was just such a powerful conversation. I so appreciate you and your vulnerability and your time and just the person that you are. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Where can everybody connect with you?
And thank you so much. This was such a nourishing, beautiful conversation. And I love that I got to share so many of the interesting ahas that I'm even deeper realizing now. Like that was so much fun to have. So awesome. People can find me on Facebook. I'm Laura McPhee there. And I know you guys had links that I'm sure you'll post up.
Yeah.
I'm Coach Laura McPhee on Instagram, and I also have YouTube. So I used to make a ton of things on self-love and care and gratitude for your body and all kinds of different things. So I'm sure you can scroll back a little bit and get some juicy goodness there.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much, love. We'll definitely have to have you back on again.
Yeah, I'd love to.
That's our show. Thank you to our producer, Matt Iske, our show manager, Shayla Anderson. If you want to stay connected to the Modern Girl community and learn more about our show guests, click the show notes of this episode. And if this conversation resonated with you, throw a 5-star rating and review our way so that we can keep spreading the Modern Girl message with more women. And one last thing, don't forget to hit subscribe so that you can save time and stay on top of the new episode each week. I'm sending you so much love, wisdom, and strength. Talk to you soon.